How many times have you heard that? It's a miracle. My daughter woke up on time to get to school. It's a miracle. The person who's sick is getting better. It's a miracle. Churches are growing in the hard soil of Rhode Island. It's a miracle. Now, when I say stuff like that, do you believe it? Do you believe in miracles? Are miracles real? Just keep that in the back of your head as we hear God's word that you heard right before the prayer this morning. Miracles. What are they? Why do they happen? And do you believe them? And is it important if you believe in them? The title for today's message is Living Miracles. Because he's risen. And the text is found in Acts 9, 31 to 42. Give you a little bit of background. Peter seems to be the first circuit pastor. You know what that is? That's a pastor who travels around to a lot of different churches, encouraging, teaching, preaching, helping people to grow. And he was traveling throughout Palestine. And in our text today, he was visiting a town known as Lydda, about 25 miles northwest of Jerusalem. And in the book of Acts, geography is important because Luke presents it as a way of understanding how the church is growing and what's happening with the good news of the gospel. You can see in the book of Acts that the early church is starting to solidify. And that area around Jerusalem is being reached with the gospel. Now, if you remember what came in Acts before our passage today, remember the eunuch and the chariot that Philip ran up by, and he accepted the gospel and he was baptized. He went back to Ethiopia, right? Gospel's reaching Ethiopia. You remember that bully who was on his way to Damascus named Saul and became Paul? Gospel was reaching Damascus. The Great Commission was starting to spread outside of Israel, outside of Palestine. It was starting to reach the ends of the earth. And our text makes a point that this growth wasn't produced by that guy who Jesus said was going to be his rock, formerly known as Simon, now known as Peter, or the bully, known as Saul, now Paul, also picked by Jesus. The growth was because of what Paul and Peter did in the name of Jesus. It all comes down to fearing the Lord. The next slide there. Remember that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and that the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. This is a repetitive message throughout the Old and the New Testament. So we should not be surprised that the fear of the Lord is the foundation on which the church is built and advanced in Acts. So Acts 9:31, so the church throughout all Judea, Galilee, and Samaria had peace and was strengthened, living in the fear of the Lord and encouraged by the Holy Spirit. It increased in numbers. It's still that way today, by the way. The phrase, fear of the Lord, what do you think that means? It means we need to be afraid of God? Well, it means a lot of different things. It's a very complicated phrase. In general, it means to have awe for God's magnificence, for his power and his glory, and to be overwhelmed by him. It also means that, yeah, if you're on God's bad side because you've sinned, you should feel free. And that is a good reaction. And we should be fearful of sinning against God. Sometimes it's a threat of judgment that's going to come from that fear. But just being aware of God's glory, His power, His sovereignty, should be enough to bring us to this recognition that God is in charge. We should listen to what He says and do what He says. Amen? One thing that is important to understand on it is that it can be taught. We're to teach the fear of the Lord. And we can choose whether or not to have that fear. I've got those texts in our handout if you want to take a look at them later. So it's this fear of the Lord, this understanding that everything is done in God's name and under His power, through His power, that we receive that comfort, that awareness that grows the church. But in this text, it also talks about Peter doing healings, right? Miracles. And part of the reason that the unbelievers that found the fear of the Lord made that decision, it seems to indicate, was because the miracles that Peter had done in the name of Jesus. Acts 9:32-35. As Peter was traveling from place to place, he also came down to the saints who lived in Lydda. There he found a man named Aeneas, who was paralyzed and had been bedridden for 8 years. Everybody knew this guy. Couldn't move his legs. He was stuck there. Peter said to him, "Aeneas, Jesus Christ heals you. Get up and make your bed." And immediately he got up. So all who lived in Lydda and Charon saw him and turned to the Lord. The words that stick out to me from here is, "Jesus Christ heals you." And seeing that, the people turned to the Lord. It's similar to the miracle that Jesus had done in healing a paralyzed man, right? In Luke 5:18-26, but there are major differences. Nobody brought him to Peter to be healed like the paralyzed man's friends brought him to Jesus. Nobody had faith that Peter could heal. Peter doesn't announce that the man's sins are forgiven. If he's a believer, they've already been forgiven. Amen? But Luke doesn't tell us whether or not the man was a believer or not. He doesn't tell us how Peter learned about this man. And the man makes no appeal to Peter for healing. This is something that Peter simply does. Peter continues the healing miracles of Christ through the power and authority of Christ. Peter's command that he roll up his mat implies that he doesn't need to be carried anymore, but he can stand and he can walk. And the people that had watched this man for 8 years lie there. They saw him walking about the city, and they were overcome with the awe that is the fear of the Lord. And they said, if God can do this through Peter, they got the fear of the Lord. They wanted to learn more about the source of that miracle. They don't believe Peter is a great miracle worker, but they put their trust in the Lord in whose name Peter pronounces the healing. Jesus Christ heals. heals you. Jesus Christ continues to do that to this day. Then the text moves in and it talks about something even more awesome, more unexplainable. Raised from the dead was the next miracle, right? Acts 9, 36 to 42. In Joppa, there was a disciple named Tabitha, also translated as Dorcas. She was always doing good works and acts of charity. About that time, she became sick and died, and after washing her, they placed her in a room upstairs. Since Lydda was near Joppa, the disciples heard that Peter was there, and they sent two men to him who urged them, "Don't delay in coming with us." Peter got up and went with them, and when he arrived, they led him to the room upstairs. All the widows approached him, weeping and showing him the robes and the clothes that Dorcas had made while she was with them. Peter sent them all out of the room. He knelt down, he prayed, and turning towards the body, he said, "Tabitha, get up." She opened her eyes. He knelt down, prayed, and turning to the body, said, "Tabitha, get up." She opened her eyes and saw Peter and sat up. He gave her his hand and he helped her stand up. He called the saints and widows and presented her alive. And this became known throughout Joppa, and many believed in the Lord. Compelling reason to believe, amen? Seeing somebody rise from the dead parallels another miracle of Jesus, right? Where he raised the daughter of Jairus to life. By the way, Luke identifies her as a disciple. So if anybody has any questions about whether women were disciples of Jesus, it's the only time in the New Testament where the feminine form of the word was used. Tabitha was a disciple of Jesus. Tabitha had a gift for charity and caring and hospitality. Tabitha used her means, the money that she had, and her skill as a seamstress to provide material support to the poor and the widowed. Now, we don't know what she died from, but normally, the Jews would not leave a body out overnight without preparing that body to be buried and placing at least temporarily in a tomb. She was only washed. She wasn't anointed with the linens and the spices. It was unusual treatment. And if you understand what the Jews did and how they practiced, it leads you to believe that they knew something was going on. They had an expectation that was not normal here. When Peter arrived, the widows that she had served so well, they flocked around Peter. And they started showing him the evidence of the goodness of this woman. "Look at these she gave me. Look at what she did for us. How can God take her away from us right now?" Do something. She's dead. What does Peter do? He asks them to leave the room. He prays. Remember, he has no power to do this on his own. And she raises from the dead. It was a miracle. Those women were so unwilling to accept her loss. She had demonstrated so much godliness, servanthood, that they wanted her back. Get up. Now, Peter knew what to do because Jesus had sent the disciples out before, right? In Matthew 10:8, heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those with leprosy, drive out demons. Freely you received, freely give. Do you know the difference between a resurrection and being raised from the dead? There's a distinction. It's an important one. In the Bible, there are several examples of people being raised from the dead. They were powered by God. They were blessings. But those folks died again for a final death. Jesus is the only resurrection in the Bible where there will be no death to follow. Believers can expect, have hope in that resurrection to come. The resurrection is the end of death. And when we are raised from the dead in resurrection, we're going to have a new body. We'll never perish. Jesus was able to raise the dead because he's God. Jesus was able to provide for our means of resurrection because he paid the price for our sin on the cross. But when Tabitha was raised from the dead, it was strictly on the power of God, Peter's faith in Jesus. He had developed a reputation for healing, but he had never raised the dead. Why did the widows in the church believe with so much certainty that Tabitha would be raised? I think at its core, they just simply understood that since Jesus had risen, they would too. Now be very careful with this understanding, my friends. Miracles are not guaranteed. They're not coin-operated where you put in some prayer, some faith, the person lived a good life, and you're going to get the answer that you hope for. Miracles depend entirely on God's power and God's will. And we cannot control God's will, and we can't always understand why God wills it. Why do some people get healing and others don't? Why do some people turn to God and others don't? We can't understand this. We don't need to understand this. Everything depends on God's will, and we know that it's inexplicable to us. And we can't insist that God should always work miracles. It wasn't just these women gathering around Peter pleading the case of Dorcas. It wasn't just the fact that Dorcas was a good woman. And it wasn't just the fact that Peter was an apostle. We don't know why. Sometimes a person is healed and sometimes they aren't. We don't know why some people are raised from the dead and others aren't. But we know it's a miracle and we know it's powered by God. And we know with certainty that we're going to have that ultimate resurrection. Corinthians 15:54. When this corruptible body is clothed with incorruptibility and this mortal body is clothed with immortality, then the saying that is written will take place. Death has been swallowed up in victory. I don't know about you, but this text, it raises questions in my mind. I'm on the heart transplant list. Why can I not be healed without that heart transplant? We have dear saints in this church who are struggling every day with health issues. We've got Carol dealing with pain that just never seems to go away. My wife is dealing with headaches far too frequently, and today she's got a cold keeping her in bed. and God healed them. So I got to ask you, do you believe in miracles? Do you? Most people will say, yeah, I believe in miracles. But when you talk to them about the miracles that they believe in, then you ask them, do you believe that miracles happen today, to this day? Once again, most believers will say, yeah, I believe miracles happen to this day. Do you believe that the miracles of being raised from the dead and being healed by God through a believer with the spiritual gift of healing can happen today? And I ask you that. Many believers will hedge their answer somewhat like this, where they'll say, God works through the miracle of modern medicine today. And others will say that such miracles were limited to the biblical times. Whatever position you hold, by the way, it's not essential to salvation. Amen? This is not something to divide over. Salvation is based on faith through grace, and it's only received on believing and receiving that Jesus is our Lord and Savior through the unearned grace and mercy of God. This doesn't affect our standing with God. But being unwilling to believe in miracles happening today does affect our ability to experience God's peace. Amen? Paul said in Philippians 4:4-7, rejoice in the Lord always. I say it again, rejoice. Let your graciousness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. Don't worry about anything, but in everything, through prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and that peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. The peace that comes from God happens because we lift our prayer and our petition with thanksgiving, because we believe that prayer will be answered. You don't need to understand how God is going to answer these miracles or why God chooses to work through the elders of the church and people gifted by the Spirit to provide healing. You just need to acknowledge that God is God and He can do these things as He wills. Well, how does God will? God says in James 5:14-15, is anyone among you sick? He should call for the elders of the church, and they are to pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. The prayer of faith will save the sick person. The Lord will raise him up, and if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Anything in there about this is in place until God allows for surgeons to be able to open up my chest and insert a vacuum pump that helps my heart go around? There's no end time on this. If you're sick, do this. Now, note that in the text that we read today, the church where Dorcas passed away, they called out for Peter, a man who had a gift of healing. They reach outside the church. Not everybody has a gift of healing, right? The spiritual gift. In 1 Corinthians 12:4-11, there are different gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different ministries, but the same Lord. There are different activities, but the same God works all of them in each person. One of those gifts, healing. And each of these gifts is given to build up the church. The only ministry in the Bible that has ended is the apostleship. Amen? And the reason that has ended is there's nobody alive who's seen that God is risen, that Jesus is risen. That was one of the requirements to be an apostle. There are are no living eyewitnesses, so there's nobody who can be added to that list of apostles. What happens if you believe in miracles and you ask for a miracle and it doesn't happen? What happens if you're wrong about believing in miracles? Is there a bad outcome that comes from that? I'm not telling us to believe in the miracle of flying and jumping off a roof. I'm not talking about the belief in a miracle that I can run across the road outside the church and not get hit. Please don't try that. People get hit every day, as our sign is evidence. But there's no downside to being wrong on this, amen? And there is a huge upside in the peace of mind of trusting that God has this. Remembering that this is not a coin-operated machine where you put in the money and you get the prize or the item that you wanted. We don't understand it, but we need to believe that it's possible. And the reason I say that is I know very conservative, level-headed men who have gone to third world nations and have seen things that shook them to their very foundation. I've talked to multiple men who have seen demons exercise from a body. I've spoken to one man who had credible reports of a person being raised from the dead. And you got to wonder, why is it happening in the third world and not here? And the only answer that I can come up with is we don't ask because we don't believe it's possible. There are many times where people ask for a miracle and it is not answered the way that they want. But that does not prevent the miracle from being possible. I don't believe Benny Hinn is a healer. And when he shakes his sport jacket around and people start flying because of the power within him, I believe that's all show and fraud. But I believe that there are people who have the gift of healing. And I've seen them do remarkable things through the use of that gift. I wasn't healed many, many years ago, when my condition was much less burdensome. But I've seen the healing miracle that was done through him. So don't panic and go running around looking for a miracle cure that comes from paying somebody a certain amount of money to get the water from this special place. Don't lose your faith in the miracle of modern medicine. Just trust in God. Believe his word. Take his word at face value when your eyesight doesn't back up what's being said there. We say nobody's being raised. We don't see people being healed every day. Is that a reflection on God's power? No. Is that a reflection on our lack of faith? No. Maybe a little because we're not asking. When you're sick, come to us. Let us pray over you. when you're sick, if you have the opportunity that somebody you see is touched by God and has a reputation for healing, be open to being healed. When you hear of miracles, don't dismiss them. And believe in miracles. Believe in your heart. Because God used those miracles to bring people to the fear of the Lord, and many were saved. So when we don't see miracles in our lives, and we don't believe in miracles, and we become discouraged, and we don't trust in God that God has us, we really need that greatest miracle of all to be reminded to us. We need to remember that Jesus died and rose again, and because he is risen, so shall we. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for your word. Lord, thank you for the comfort that your spirit brings us. Thank you for the fear of God that has us rightfully understanding who you are and who we are in relation to you. Lord, we pray to believe in miracles, even though it's hard for us in this culture to believe in that. But we pray that your work in and through us spreads the word of the gospel to the people around us. Lord, we pray for that time when this island is filled with people who have seen miracles and were brought to the understanding and fear of God from them. And may the church grow. We pray this in the name of your Son, in Jesus' name, amen.